This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, welcome to the weekend, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Fiona Deering from Lara, Australia, and you're listening to a special Australian edition of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 13, episode 1494, brought to you today by Remote Coach. Good morning, Horse World.
I thought I would do this for you because you were so close in eventing earlier in the week to hear this anthem on the podium.
We were.
So close. Let's just listen.
That show jumping, that damn show jumping.
Let's just listen and make believe. We can all think
yes.
that you did. I felt so bad for you guys.
Got a little
and
tear
New Zealand,
eye.
Too.
I know. Oh, my heart broke for New Zealand.
Oh, jeez. I mean, you guys were so close to 1-2 in eventing, which hasn't happened. Well, New Zealand's
so,
never had a
we're
gold.
We're all so sleep-deprived.
I bet.
We're so sleep-deprived.
I bet we're recording this a little bit earlier in the week, so you've been and for you to watch this Olympics, you're up in the middle of the night. I mean, middle
yeah.
of the night.
yeah, like, yeah, 2 a.m. was yeah. my go to sleep and then set the alarm for another hour or so for the individual, and then the app froze and wouldn't work, and I was half asleep. I just went, oh, I can't do it anymore.
Well,
I couldn't kick on.
You did come in, Australia did come in third, and
yeah.
Unfortunately New Zealand took fourth.
Oh.
And it looked for a moment there that they had a chance of the gold, and oh, it was
yep.
just heartbreaking.
Yeah, it was so, I mean, look, regardless of who won, it was just such a fantastically tight competition, and it was so super exciting. I think I gave my two cats and a dog anxiety.
Well, we do have to say, I mean, you did fare pretty well. You weren't in the medals again in individual because it was, well, Michael Young, god of eventing. And then, you know, and then we had the French guy, Nicholas, and then Philip Dutton, and then...
Well, Australian... Just saying.
Oh, that is true. You know, yeah. the twoest highest placed Americans are Australian, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. You stole our people.
So, but then fourth through
fourth
seventh
fifth.
Were
yeah.
New Zealand, Australia. So,
yeah. 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 And particularly for Chris Burton on that beautiful young horse, which is actually dressage bred. He's a Sandro Hit horse with a Brentano bottom line, I think. So very dressage bred. But he was just lovely. And he gave him such a sweet ride through all three phases.
Yeah. Yeah. I did feel bad for you.
Oh, it was so exciting. It was just so exciting.
It was. It was very exciting. Yeah. Cross country was like a nail biter. Yeah. I hope you're, were, was your, what are you watching over there? How are you watching the Olympics?
Well, because I've moved, well, sort of almost to the country, Channel 7, who are the Olympic hosts, my Channel 7 reception is not good. So I haven't
so
got it
like
really
on
free to air.
So that's like our NBC is carrying it here.
Sort of, yeah. And but they have this fantastic app. So I've been watching through the app, but it is a little bit glitchy. But, you know, it's better than nothing, and it's been free. So last Olympics you had to go through Foxtel and all the rest of it, so it was quite expensive. So I just stayed on friends' couches last Olympics. But this time I could stay at my house.
Yeah, here to watch the NBC, you know, to watch NBC online on your computer, you have to still have a cable. Connection and you have to sign in under the cable connection to be able to watch it. So if you don't have cable TV, you can't watch it.
Well, I think because I'm a Telstra mobile customer, I've got access to the app free. But even if you weren't, it was only 1995.
Are you watching on your phone?
No, I've been watching through the computer, but then mirroring that through the TV.
Ah, okay.
But they also have really good replays up. So they've got full cross-country replay you can access. So I've sort of managed to catch up on bits that may have had a little nana nap through, perhaps.
There you go. Well,
until
good.
A friend rang me or messaged me going, wake up and watch this.
Well, I'm glad that you're getting to see it, and it is interesting and a lot of fun to watch, and, you know, watching all the different sports we didn't know existed.
Yes.
And some of them are, and I've discovered
I haven't seen anything except the horses.
Well, I have discovered there are a couple sports that are more boring than dressage. There really are.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Tell me.
Shooting is really boring to watch. Yeah.
Shooting's pretty boring.
Yeah. They just stand there and every once in a while, psht, and then there's a thing in the target, and then they stand there for a while, and then it's a psht. It's really boring. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was watching whitewater kayaking or whatever it is today. That's kind of fun to watch.
Well, there's a danger element there.
Yeah.
Mind you, I guess you could argue there's the danger element of shooting if you're in the wrong position as well, but.
Yeah, and archery for that matter.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I've got a friend of mine who's just gone and done a weekend course on archery on horseback. But she did say they make you start on the ground.
Well, we have to get through this show in an hour. The weekend shows, this is a special weekend episode. I should explain it, right? The Australian episode has now moved to the weekends. It's usually going to be the first weekend of every month. We had a conflict for this month. And we're going to be starting to do more weekend episodes. There are some magazines that are looking at coming forward. We'll be doing one of the Plaid Horse is going to be doing an episode at the end of the month. And we're going to try and keep them to an hour. They're going to be a little more loosey-goosey than the morning show is. So it'll be whatever the hosts want to do. And actually, Fiona is looking for a co-host for the Australian episode. So if you're interested in joining her, she'd be, you know, I don't have the right accent to do the Australian episode. And what we're trying to get to, too, is that the weekend episodes are not hosted by Jamie or I. That it's two completely new, different hosts for the weekend episode. So, like they do on the Today Show or Good Morning America or whatever you watch over there, your morning show on the network, it's different people on the weekends. That's kind of what we're going for here. That it's and they can do whatever format they want, and it's still part of Horses in the Morning.
I thought you were about to say that you can do whatever you want. I'm like, whew.
So it's a kind of a different, you know, it might be a little bit different format or whatever. We kind of opening it up to the people on the weekends. It'll still be part of Horses in the Morning. No live feed. It'll be put out on our recorded feed on the app and iTunes and all of that and on the website, but you won't be able to listen live because it's kind of a special weekend episode. So we're hoping to have 8 of those for each Saturday and Sunday on the weekends. And I think over the next couple of months that might happen, which means Horses in the Morning will be 7 days a week, but you only have to put up with me 5 of those days, and we'll have somebody better on the weekend.
You've got to practice your Australian accent. Anyway.
You don't want that. All right, now because of that, we have a very short time for you to get through the Australian news.
Do.
So go ahead.
Well, I've got a bit of a rave for weather beater rugs. Actually, I have. So we're just starting to come out of.
And
our
this is not a commercial
in Australia. No, it's not a commercial. It's a genuine. Bona fide, I love my weather beater freestyle conversation.
Okay.
So Young Legs has, arrived straight from a harness racing stable to me, and he's all sorts of funny shapes. He's still letting down from racing and a bit pointy and a bit
standard bred, right?
Yeah, yep. Standard bred, but very big standard bred. He's over 17 hands.
Wow.
And I managed to grab a weather beater freestyle rug, which I liked because it had the detachable neck rug. I'm not a big fan of.
And let's remind everybody, you're in winter.
We are just coming out of winter, but I thought this is good because you guys are about to go into winter.
And it can't come soon enough for everybody in Florida.
This rug has not moved an inch. It is fantastic. I love it. And it's stayed dry and he's rolled in mud and we've had a lot of rain down here and it's fantastic.
Do you have the heavyweight? Do you know what size you have? They have like light, medium and heavy.
I'm not entirely sure how much fill is
probably
in
the medium, I would think.
Yeah, I think it is the medium.
You would know the heavy. They're big and clunky.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, it's hard rugging a 17-hand horse in the winter.
It's higher up, isn't it?
It is, and you've got to, if it's windy, it's kind of, you've got to make sure no one's watching, because I've worn that rug a few times over my head. It's a good thing he's such a good man. He just stands there and goes, oh, work it out, lady. It goes on me. But I've just been delighted with it. It hasn't moved. It hasn't slipped on him. I can detach the neck rug on a warmer day. It's just fantastic. Love it.
And their freestyle with those gussets in the front, the way that's designed, is really nice, because they can move and run and play and still not, they don't get the shoulder rubs like some of the others.
And the neckline on it is great, because he's really big in the shoulder and high in the wither and not carrying much top line at the moment. So I was really worried about the wither part slipping back and pulling on his shoulder, but it just sits perfectly. So,
and you've been windy, you told me.
So windy. Poor legs. I led him in one day, and he's learned all about personal space, so he doesn't walk over the top of me anymore. And we were walking in, and I actually had my feet on the ground and my eyes on the ground, because it's been so slippery. I wanted to make sure I wasn't going to fall over. And those of you who know the standard bred will be familiar with what I refer to as the standard bred snort. And he let out a pretty major standard bred snort, and I looked up as a float or a horse trailer was sailing across in front of us. The wind was so big it had pushed it out of where it had been parked.
Not attached to anything, just on its own.
Anything. No, just going for it. And poor legs, he's like, I don't know much, but I'm pretty sure that's not meant to happen.
We got to teach you guys in Australia about blocks for the wheels, blocks.
Yeah, I mean, I always block or chalk anything that I leave parked. I'm not quite sure whether this had been chucked.
Did it hit anything as it went by?
It was heading towards a friend of mine's car.
Uh-oh.
Of course, my first response was to run and try and stop it. And I got
that's
about
not good.
Steps and went, no, that's dumb. But we managed to put it back where it belonged without damage. But, so windy. So I just about weep with happiness when I wake up and the trees aren't sideways at the moment.
I can honestly tell you I've never seen that before. So that would be quite a sight, seeing a horse trailer go by.
Tell you, young legs had never seen it before either. He grew to about, I don't know, 25 hands maybe. But he's being a super good boy, and we backed him a couple of weeks ago. So he's had his first rider on board, and he's about to, and of course then I bent over to pick up some hay and pinged my back. So he's had a little bit of a holiday while I recover, but he's having his second ride this morning after I finish this show.
Yay.
Yeah, so he's being a super good boy.
Well, if all that riding stuff doesn't work out and he knows how to drive, just hitch him up.
I could hitch him up to that trailer.
Yeah, that's right. Could have had him pull it back in place. Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad that's working out. You know, we have some more Australian news coming up, but why don't we go to our first guest, and then we'll get to that a little bit later. We have, it is the year of the listener here at the Horse Radio Network, and I think it's about damn time we get to know some of our Down Under listeners. What do you think?
Absolutely. Even one from New Zealand. We better not tell her that she's from Down Under, because Emma Champ is from New Zealand, and she might be.
Oh, no, we call Down Under anything that's down there. So New Zealand, Australia, for us, anything that's down there is Down Under. So as far as we're concerned, New Zealand is Down Under.
Well, you can run that by Emma, and let's see see how that goes.
All right, will. We'll talk. So it is the year of the listener, and we're interviewing on the Stable Scoop Show. That's all we're interviewing all year is listeners, and we thought it'd be fun to get to know some of our Southern Hemisphere listeners. And we have auditor Emma Champ coming on. She is an auditor too. So let's see how pretty her accent is.
Welcome, Emma, and thanks for taking the time to have a chat with us today.
Hi, guys. No worries. You're welcome.
Now, first up, where in New Zealand are you? Are you North Island, South Island?
I'm currently in Christchurch in the South Island of New Zealand.
And you live, that's You live in Christchurch?
Yeah, I live in a small township called Dunsandel, about 40 minutes south of actual Christchurch.
A little bit out of earthquake range, yeah?
Unfortunately, no. The big one that we had back in September of 2011 was probably closer to my house that I live in now than Christchurch.
Oh, no.
So, no, we're still pretty close.
Are you, Glenn, are you familiar with that, like New Zealand shakes
a
lot?
Yeah, and, you know, and I kind of know that there's two parts, as you're talking about, the North and the South. But Emma, for all of us around the rest of the world, tell us about the South Island and why it's so special.
I guess it's a very open country in a way. A lot of greenness. Well, at the moment, there's still a lot of brownness, even though we are in the middle of winter. We've been really unlucky this year with the droughts that have hit us. We're still waiting for our autumn grass to take off and grow. It's, at the moment, not actually a bad day, considering we were nearly having snow last week. It's only about 12 degrees Celsius outside. But yeah, it's a lovely place to live. It's a country where, especially the equestrian community, is really small. So no matter whether you're from the North Island or the South Island, you know most people who are competing at the same level as you.
Yeah, it's really small, but it's very, very close-knit and supportive too. I've been over for two Equidays shows and one Horse of the Year show, and the whole feel was quite different from Australia. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think I've never, to be honest, been to a competition, well, not a horse riding one anyway, anywhere else in the world. I've been a little bit unlucky in that respect. I managed to go to the Youth Olympics a few years ago, but of course the day that we were there, I saw the other sport that I was doing, not the equestrian, which kind of sucked. It's really different. That feel when you're sitting in the Hawke's Bay Stadium for that Horse of the Year class, no matter whether it's a New Zealander competing or an Australian, whoever it is in that ring, the entire crowd is behind them, regardless of who wins.
It's amazing. Having lived in Australia all my life and being at that Horse of the Year competition, it was like a rock concert every night. I couldn't believe the amount of spectators you had turning up for show jumping. We just don't have that in Australia. It was fantastic. Now, tell me a little bit about your horses and what you do.
I've currently got three of my own, and I'm actually taking one of my mother-in-law's horses back to her this weekend. So at the moment I've got four, but I've got a 32-year-old pony who was my first pony. Her name's Amber, and she took me basically from knowing nothing and riding for someone else to being able to step up to start in that, well, what we call pre-training, so 85-centimetre class. Yeah. And from then I moved on to hacks. I was about 13 when I moved on to hacks, so I was quite young. And then I've got a 16-1 thoroughbred, who is my main eventer, who unfortunately is currently out with a check ligament injury. And then I've got my 21-year-old Irish draft cross thoroughbred mare, who has been my partner for the last nearly 8 years. I've done everything with her. I've competed her up to a 1.30 show jumping, and more recently, she's been doing 95 or that training for us, eventing. I was hoping that I might be able to do my first one-star event on her in the coming season, but unfortunately, I think her tendons aren't quite going to live up to that. So that's my own horses.
So eventing is your – you've always evented?
I have. Yep, I've always evented since I was about 10 and I got my first pony. I've done a lot of show jumping when I got my older mare. I've done a little bit of polo. I played a lot of amount of games with my 32-year-old pony when she was a bit younger.
Wow. I got to see a lot of the mounted games at Horse of the Year when I was over there, because that was near where I was camping. And, oh, they had the best fun out of anyone at that show.
Yeah, they're they're definitely an entertaining crew to hang out with, that's for sure.
And then they had veterans classes with, I think there was one guy there who was 70 riding, some kid's pony that's standing on its back legs at the start line. They just had the best time.
Yeah. Now, mounted games is not for the faint-hearted in any way, shape or form.
Oh, no way.
It's really fast-paced. Yeah. And it's so fun to watch and be involved in.
Yeah.
Emma, do you do all your showing in the South Island, or do you have to go to North? And can you go North?
Can definitely go North. We've got the ferry that goes between the two islands, about a 3-hour trip across on the ferry, and then depending on where you're going. I've, over the years since I've had my big Mia, she's taken me to about 5 Horse of the Year shows. So they're all based in the North Island in Hastings. So that's from us. We travel from Christchurch to Blenheim, top of the South Island, and stay there sometimes overnight and compete the next day, and then carry on the ferry the next morning, stop in Wellington, and then carry on the next day. So for us, we normally do it in 2 days.
Okay, so for those of us that have never had to put a horse on a ferry, which is about 99% of the people listening, so how does that work?
It's pretty simple, really. They just go on either the float or the truck, depending on how they're going up the coast, and you just let them stand there for 3 hours. You can give them some hay and some water. Some people do that. Depends on the horse. Most horses will travel really, really well. And unfortunately, we're not allowed to go down and see them. So once they're on the boat, they're all strapped in secure. They're really, really good with making sure that we don't travel in heavy swells. There's certain livestock ratings that you can't cross in with horses and livestock. So they make sure that we're all set to go before that.
So once you start out, your horse is in the trailer or the truck or whatever down there, and you can't go down and see them. So it's like flying. You're not going to go see them.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's it. How much does that cost?
Down there in case things break.
How much does that cost? Do you remember?
It depends. And I was looking at going up recently, and for myself to go over, it's about just myself with no vehicle. It's about $45 New Zealand. So it's not too bad. And then when you start adding the truck in, it all depends on the weight of the truck, the size of the truck. It can be up $200-$300
Wow.
Each way.
Yeah.
So it's expensive to go show up there.
Yeah. And a lot of people, if they go from the South Island, they go for maybe 2 or 3 weeks and get a couple of events in. Or they go for 2 or 3 months as well.
And the other thing, Glenn, about New Zealand is it's not just like driving down the highway to get to these places. You're driving over mountains on, fairly treacherous roads, speaking as one who thought she was going to die on the Taupo Napier Road. it was a very bad drive in the dark in a dodgy hire car. But, it's pretty and very changeable conditions too.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I mean, we all know it
It's very beautiful.
We all know it from Lord of the Rings. Speaking of which, were you an extra? Did you get in the movie?
No, unfortunately. I was a little bit young when that,
Okay. All right, just checking. I had to ask for all the Lord of the Rings fans. Because most of that was filmed in the South Island, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was a fair bit of the mountainous sort of stuff and the broad open land stuff that was filmed down here. And to be honest, you drive through there more often than you think when you're down here.
Oh, really? Wow.
And you just don't even, think for us, it. We just don't even register it anymore.
Do we still have tourists visiting there because of the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. There are lots of places up on the North Island, too, where they, the Hobbit village and things, that's a major tourist attraction.
Yeah.
Well,
they kept all the Hobbiton village.
Before we run out of time here, there is something that we're doing with all of our, I don't know if you've listened to Stable Scoop this year, but we're doing with all of our Year of the Listener interviews, and that's our rapid fire questions. So if Fiona doesn't mind, I'd like to ask you those.
Go for it.
All right, good. What is your favorite food?
Probably chicken and pasta together.
Oh, cool. And what's your least favorite food?
Probably anything from the sea or water.
Yay! I'm with you. That's mine too. And you live on an island. You live on an island where there probably is lots of fish and seafood.
Since I met my partner, I've got better at eating salmon, but that's probably about the only fish that I really eat.
Oh, they're just all fishy smelling, and the taste and the texture. Everything's gross about it.
Of course they smell like
fish. It's gross. And eating seafood, all that stuff, and the shells and stuff, it's like, oh.
Oh, they're the best.
I'm with you there, Emma. Now when I come, now I know when I go to visit Emma and I'm in New Zealand and we're visiting, I won't have to eat seafood. That'd be perfect.
I wouldn't cook seafood if you visited here.
What's your biggest equestrian pet peeve?
Probably. It's a little bit of a hard one, that one. There's a few of them. The main one would probably be people who say they're going to do something with their horse and then don't do it. And I mean, I feel like I'm a bad horse mum when I don't see my horses two or three times a day. And I hear people, especially with where I work, who only see their horse maybe once every 2 days. And I'm like, just can't deal with that.
We had boarders that would literally see their horses twice a year.
Oh, wow.
And they're paying $200 to $300 a month in board, and they would come out twice a year.
No, I couldn't cope with that.
How about, do you have a favorite professional or celebrity equestrian?
Probably a hot topic at the moment, because mine would be Mark Todd.
Oh, poor Mark.
Poor Mark.
Hands down.
Yeah.
What is
I had lessons with him when I was younger, so.
Oh, hey. How is he as an instructor?
He helped me so much. Oh, he's brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. And if you're there and you want to learn, he's more than happy to teach you. If you're there and you don't pay attention, then there's no point in being there because he won't help you. He's absolutely brilliant as an instructor.
That's fair enough.
If he comes back, I'll go back in a heartbeat.
Well, that's cool. All right. Very good. And let's see here. Next question is, what's the most terrifying thing you've ever done and would you do it again?
Probably my first ever endurance ride. That would have been one of the scarier things that I've done.
How far did you go?
It was only, the first one I did was 40 kilometers, but it was on a horse that I didn't really know. I hadn't had her very long and she was quite small and I wasn't quite sure how she was going to take it. And my mother-in-law is one of the better New Zealand endurance riders. She's currently working towards going to WEG in 2018. So I was really lucky to have really good coaching for that. And I've recently started doing more 80 kilometer rides. So I'll do it again.
I guess you will. And then if you could have one superhero power, what would it be?
Probably teleportation.
I'm with you.
Yeah, ability to be that somewhere one.
Yeah,
right away.
That, especially when you guys live where you do.
Yeah.
It's like you have to drive forever to get anywhere. And then you wouldn't have to pay the $300 for the ferry either.
Exactly. It'd be great.
Especially if you could teleport your horse at the same time. It'd be perfect.
Yeah, that would be good.
Someone work on that for us.
Well, before we let Emma go, we interviewed a listener today by the name of Mo. She's an auditor, and she lives in Florida. And when we asked her what her least favorite food was, she said, oh, that's easy, Marmite. And she said, I want to apologize to Fiona, and I'll apologize to Emma, too. That she said, Marmite's the most disgusting, pasty crap that I've ever eaten in my life. So, and then we had to look up what Marmite was, because I'd never heard of it. Apparently it's some kind of yeast thingy. And right in there with Vegemite also.
Oh, see, so. I love Vegemite. I can't do Marmite.
No, can't do Marmite.
No.
You see, but
have you tried?
They say that you can either do Marmite or Vegemite.
Yeah.
I know I've got, like, my grandparents, they always have Vegemite. My mum and my partner have always had Marmite, and I'm kind of in the middle, and I can do either. I don't really mind.
I'm sorry. Something that's called yeast extract should not be eaten. Just something. I don't know. Give it to the birds. It's just weird.
Have you tried Vegemite?
No, what? I have never tried it. No.
Oh, I'll have to post you some over.
Yeah, I'll be right on that.
I guess I will send them some.
Yeah, I'll send you a little Australian pack.
Okay, you do that. Yeah. I'll taste. If you do that, I will taste it on the air live.
All right.
So you send me whatever weird stuff out of Australia you want to, but no fish. I will not do fish. Anything that's fishy.
Can you imagine how bad that would smell by the time it arrived?
No canned fish either. No, none of that canned stuff.
No. We'll do a little Australian pack.
Hey, Emma, you're fun. Thank you so much for being on. I could sit and listen to your accent all day. Thanks for joining us.
I'm sick at the moment either, so.
Take care, girl. We appreciate you.
Thanks so much, Emma.
Thanks, guys. It was great to talk to you.
We're now joined by Amy 18, and Amy is participating in the Australian Brumby Challenge with the very, very cute gelding Bright. I'll get Amy to let us know about the Facebook page a little bit later where you can follow her. But welcome, Amy. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Amy, is your last name really 18, like the age 18?
It is, and it's been a running joke that, oh, what's it like when you turn 18 and all this sort of stuff?
I can't imagine in high school.
Hey, you're always 18.
That's it. That's 18. True. I often get, when people ask for my last name, they say, oh, no, not your age, your last name. And it goes on and on, as you can imagine.
you're delighted we've brought it up.
Yeah,
sorry,
high school must have been fun for you. They must have had all kinds of nicknames.
Yeah, I was the butt of every joke, that's for sure.
Poor girl.
Now, you're participating in the Australian Brumby Challenge. First up, is this the first time we've done this here? Excuse my ignorance. Do you know that?
No, there was one back in 2014. This is the first challenge that they'll be running from Equitana, which is quite a large horse expo. So this is the second time running.
Okay, so tell us about Bright.
So Bright's a Bogon Brumby. He was passively trapped out of the Bogon High Plains in Victoria's High Country. He's a great little horse. He's quite athletic. He's got such a great willingness to learn. He's very gentle. He's never once given me a bad eye or threatened me in any way. So he's such a sweet little thing, and his willingness to learn just amazes me every time I do some work with him. He just comes along leaps and bounds and is such fun to work with. He's a fantastic little horse.
How much had he been handled or not handled, as the case may be, when he was when you took him on?
So basically, he hadn't really had any positive handling, if you will. He was, like I said, he was passively trapped, and then they go into a yard, lured into a yard, I should say. They set off a tripwire and then they're caught. And so then people come and they chase them up onto a ramp, onto a truck. And then the VBA, or the Victorian Brumby Association, take him out to their Brumby Junction Sanctuary. And they're put out into a paddock there to sort of adapt to farm life, if you will, as far as fencing goes and artificial water supplies. And that's pretty much the extent of his handling. So not a lot, apart from being trapped. That's about it.
Right. So he was... he was delivered to you, and you started with, "Hi, I'm Amy," I'm guessing.
Yeah, pretty much. So I picked him up from the Brumby Sanctuary. Again, we ran them through races onto the trailer, and then when I got him home, it was a, "Oh dear, what do I do now?" moment. I sort of thought, have I really bitten off more than I can chew? Yeah, yeah, but look, he just, like I said, his willingness, he just, from the moment I put him into my round pen at home, he was hooked onto me, focused on me, kind of always watching what I'm doing. And excuse me, it was just about sort of getting him to become curious. So I was trying very hard not to be threatening towards him, and just getting his curiosity built up into me before he'd come and have a sniff and allow me to pat his nose, which took a long time and a lot of patience. Yeah. It's been a very testing process, but nonetheless a very enjoyable one.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing working with any horse, I guess, that has trust issues. But he's, a wild caught horse is top of the pops. So how long have you had him for?
So we're coming into the end of our week 8.
Yeah.
And so we've had, in week 6, I started riding him. So he's had a couple of weeks riding now.
Yep.
And, yeah, so we're sort of about a third of the way through. We've got 150 days, so it's time's ticking quite quickly.
And the end of the road is riding them in the arena at Equitana, is that right?
That's it, yep. So at Equitana with all the crowds, so I'm going to have to hire a bunch of people, I think, to get used to those numbers. And, and a freestyle class. So whatever you kind of feel your horse is good at and working on that and showing off what you've done at Equitana.
And so how in terms of riding, what are you up to doing at the moment? Are you out of the yard on him or?
Yeah, so pretty much the second day of riding, I took Bright out of the arena. I found that in the arena he got quite sticky feet. He didn't want to move forward. If you think about it, all the training that you do in the round yard and stuff is kind of shutting them down and stopping them from running around. So I felt the best way to get over that was to take him out. So straight away we're out in the paddock and down the road, and he was absolutely the most happiest he's been doing that. And he was quite willing to travel out. So we still do a little bit of arena work, obviously, for the schooling side of things, but, you know, every ride we go for a ride out and over logs and around dirt mounds and any natural obstacles I can find, I put him over and around them.
Yeah. And you work full-time with horses, don't you? Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do, apart from hanging out with Bride.
So for the last 7 years, I've been running a business as a certified equine dentist and barefoot trimmer. So every day I'm out there, seeing horses from all different properties and different areas and that are handled in different ways. And that's definitely been a valuable kind of tool to have as far as working with Bright, because I didn't know what I was going to end up with. So yeah, my work is as an equine dentist and trimmer.
Fantastic. Now, where can people find more about yourself and Bright? You have to check him out because he's the cutest little guy ever. And I'm actually going to have to organise to come out and meet him because you're quite close to me, yeah?
Oh, please do. Yes, please do. So I've got a Facebook page which is Amy18 Equine Services, and I'm posting regular updates on Bride and what we're doing. And there's also the Australian Brumby Challenge Facebook page, and that has all the trainers on there, and you can see all the latest news with that and their website.
There are a lot of trainers Australian involved, Brumby, aren't there? How many trainers? So
27 trainers.
Yeah.
All up that were selected by the Victorian Brumby Association. So we had to put an application in, and then they selected the trainers that they wanted to participate.
Fantastic. I can't wait to see them all at Equitana because, I think it's the Americans have obviously highlighted the trainability of the Mustangs, the Kiwis with the Kaimanawas, and it's really good to see the Brumbies have their chance to shine as well. And of course, there's a lot of political goings on in the background in regards to Brumby populations in the wild at the moment, which are just too big to go into in the time remaining, but it is a little bit of a hot topic in Australia at the moment.
Now, I have
Go
ahead.
Sorry. Oh, I was just saying, I'm really looking forward to seeing what the trainers are doing, because we all come from different walks of life and different training methods. So it'll be really interesting to see the different sort of equestrian pursuits, if you will, that the people have taken and what they're doing with their horses. I can't wait.
It certainly has been fun here in the United States watching the Mustang makeovers and the Thoroughbred makeovers and all of that. So I think it's going to be neat for you guys to see, too. I have a question about your real job, and that is dentistry and things. Does that require, like here in some states here in the United States, not all, but some, require you to be a vet? What are the rules down there? Do you have to be licensed, or what's the story there?
No, unfortunately, here in Australia, it's not regulated as it is in America. So there are training groups that you can go through to get your certificate. So I got my certificate through the Australian Equine Dental Practice. But unfortunately, people can just pick up a tool and go to a property and say, I'm an equine dentist, which is a real problem, because it makes it difficult for the people that are doing the right thing and practicing in the right way. It kind of undermines their work. So,
and who have invested time and money in their own training.
Exactly, that's exactly right. So there are vets that do dentistry here, but there are a lot of vets that don't want to do it. I work with several different vets. I cover a lot of different areas over Victoria. In each area, I have a couple of different vets that I'd work with that will sedate horses for me if need be. So it can be a little bit of a grey area, unfortunately, and we are working to get the industry more regulated and recognised, so that, you know, we all the people that are practising are licensed properly and have had the proper training to do the job.
So. Let's talk about the other end, because you said you're also a farrier. You work with barefoot horses.
I'm mainly doing barefoot trimming. And so I did a 18-month apprenticeship with a farrier to do that. And I came over to the States last year, actually, and worked with a farrier over there. And I'm actually looking at coming back to the States and doing my farrier certificate over there, so I can do shoeing as well.
Where were you here when you were here?
New Hampshire.
Oh yeah.
So
okay.
Northeast
over. You like
there.
It
yeah.
cold.
So. I came in summer. So
okay,
it was
good. Yeah.
Beautiful weather. But amazing the amount of rain they got over there.
We're getting a little of that here in Florida right now too. So it's so interesting. I've been on your Facebook page too. Tell everybody where that is.
So that's Amy 18 Equine Services.
And Amy 18 Equine Services, you just look it up that way and you'll find it. And I've been looking at all your pictures and everything. So cool.
Fantastic.
And we'll pop a link to that in the show notes so people can find you nice and easily.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. I have to keep it interesting.
Thank you, Amy. Good luck with it all.
Yeah, good luck, Amy. And thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us today.
No, thank you for having me.
So before we wrap up the show today, our first weekend Australian episode, where can people find you?
You can find me at www.remote-coach.com, so remote-coach.com, or just at the Remote Coach Facebook page. Come on over and drop me a line.
Very good. And of course, you can find all the past episodes of the Australian episode by going to horsesinthemorning.com and just search for Australian in the search, and it'll bring up all the past episodes if you want to take a listen. You can follow us on Twitter. You can download our app, Horse Radio Network. It's free and it's easy to download. We have a ton of Australian and New Zealand people who have downloaded the app to listen to the shows. It's probably the simplest, easiest way to do it. And just search for Horse Radio Network, iOS or Android. You can find it both places. Fiona will be back again next month, the first weekend of next month, hopefully, if we get it right.
Yes,
we'll get it right.
And you said, you know, we had difficulties last week, but really it's just because I can't read a clock properly.
Well, it was a difficulty. I mean, I didn't lie. It was a difficulty. I didn't throw you under the bus. I didn't throw you under the bus. That's all. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you back here on Monday morning. We are coming to you live from the American Equestrian Trade Association. It is the ADA show. We'll be bringing all kinds of new products to you that are coming to the market over the next couple of months. I'll be there with one of our auditors as co-hosting. Jennifer will be there. She'll be wrangling guests. We'll probably have about 10 different guests on the show Monday morning, and I know a lot of you really enjoy the ADA shows, and we'll talk to you live from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania on Monday morning.